Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Girl, you'll be a woman soon. I love you so much, can't count all the ways I died for you, girl, and all they can say is he's not your kind.
Morning, everyone. We're here for Public Forum. Public Forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss. I'm at a loss for words on this issue. This issue is nobody wants the RV park on Navarre Beach. And as a matter of fact, we voted on that two times. But there's a lot of people that do not want a monstrosity out there also, a massive condo. My question to you, are you planning on, if this thing, you plan on, you know, potentially building a monstrosity out there? I mean, it's your right to.
Commissioner, either way, something is going to be built there very soon. So either you're going to have 2,500 cars or you're going to have 171 RVs. Something will be built very soon. And if people don't think that's going to happen, they need to examine their conscience because we're going forward with a project on Navarre Beach.
The most of your folks are going to be coming in and out about 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's the busy time for an RV park. Well, that's the time the bridge is jammed up with beachgoers. There are two stretches on that bridge that are very narrow. Two RVs passing this direction, nobody, no rescue vehicle, no fire truck, no first responder is going to get through. People will die.
Wow. So the opposition to the RV park on Navarre Beach is, let's just say, passionate. Nobody's singing RVs in the day, exchanging trailer hitches. They're not in a joking mood about this. They're just like really, really, really against the RV park. And in case you don't know the background here, you had Chris Ferrara, Commissioner James Calkins, and then Chris Ferrara is the owner of the property, and then a guy named Lou Parabati, whose name I did not know, but he was one of the concerned citizens who spoke up at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting last week and said, look, we don't want this. This is not to make a decision about the RV park or the condos. And basically what you're talking about is 700 units for a condo development on this undeveloped parcel of land, or 171 RV spots on what he has repeatedly said would be a high-end, very nice RV park on Navarre Beach. Now, it's not on the beach side, it's on the Sound side, but, in any case, the people who live in that area, when this first came up last year, people were very upset because what they really wanted was for that land to remain undeveloped. Well, that's not going to happen. You know, you don't have the right to keep other people from developing their land. But what he had was the right under the lease to build condos on it. What he thought he had was the right to build an RV park, because apparently in the past he had been told that that was an allowable use by the former county attorney, Roy Andrews, and then also under having actually had a development order to build an RV park. And then that got taken away, and then he came back and asked for permission, and the commission voted him down. And then he's gone into a lawsuit suing the county over this because, you know, he's paid $4 million in lease fees over the last 34 years, and he thinks he's entitled to build an RV park, and the county said no, and so he's suing. But now what's going to happen as part of this mediation is there's going to be another hearing about this to really figure it out. Well, if the commission decides to deny the RV park permission, I don't know what the outcome in the law case would be. If they decide to allow him to build the RV park, they can probably avoid any, you know, penalties, which could be, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or more potentially. But the citizens are unhappy. They're worried about all kinds of things, like they're worried about traffic, as you heard on the bridge. They're worried about the traffic turning at the intersection, that RVs aren't going to do well at the intersection. They're worried about the kind of people, you know, who might come along with an RV park. And despite the assurances that these sorts of people are, you know, the high end, you know, the really nice coaches, the $500,000 coaches who are not going to cause problems, when somebody, and in the first hearings, I remember this last year, people were thinking this was like a trailer park, and they were very, they were mashing together the idea of a high-end RV park and some kind of a, you know, rickety, broken-down, you know, so like not even a 14 by 70, but like a, you know, like a 12 by 50, you know, just like that kind of place. And I know what they had in their head.
It's a good-looking vehicle, ain't it?
Yeah, it's so nice parked in the driveway.
Yeah, it sure does. But don't you go falling in love with it now, because we're taking it with us when we leave here next month.
I know in their head it's, you know, back then it was like Cousin Eddie, right? That's what they were thinking. And then, you know, but that's not what was going on here. And all of the arguments, I personally thought that the arguments against the RV park didn't make sense because, in my opinion, if I were living on the sound side of Navarre Beach, of course I would prefer to have it undeveloped. But if I'm going to have it developed, I'd rather have a one-story tall RV park with foliage and cover and, you know, whatever, as opposed to four or five condo towers, which are going to be kind of like, oh, well, there goes that view. You know, like, so that's me. But the people in the area, they do not think of it that way. And the threat that, well, you don't want an RV park, you get condos, they're happy with that. They seem to think that the people go and stay at their condos and don't leave, and it won't be traffic problems and the kind of people, and that the people on the leaseholders are happy having a condo. And, of course, the condo would be more money for the county because, you know, you'd have a whole lot more revenue coming in from the county. So it was just, it was a very interesting conversation, and it was different than what I expected. I personally, what I thought is that when the Navarre Beach leaseholders got the threat serious, like they got Chris Ferrara's threat that, hey, you don't want an RV park, I build condos, because that's what I'm totally allowed to do. I assumed that most of them would be like, oh, crap, you know, maybe the RV park's not so bad. But no, they showed up and said, no, we don't want an RV park, period. We'd rather have condos. I was surprised by that, but, you know, that's certainly their choice as residents to take that view. 717 here on News Radio 92.3. What happens now? Well, there's going to be a public hearing, and we'll see from there, you know. But at the moment, it looks very likely, as you heard Chris say, it's either going to be an RV park, which I prefer, or it's going to be, you know, condo towers, which I'm not sure why he doesn't prefer those. Maybe the difficulty, the high level of invested cost. And, of course, there's going to be time and construction traffic. A lot associated with that if it happens. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Coastal Machinery, and their Coastal Machinery Company, over 40 years in the business, locations in Pensacola and in Crestview. I-110, the northbound ramp at Airport, showing an accident. Certainly watch for emergency vehicles on scene, but not showing any slowdowns right now. We're watching another crash. Now, this is on Michigan Avenue, and it does seem to be tying things up north. Well, I guess it would be eastbound and a little bit westbound right near Pensacola Natural Foods and the Dollar General. Looks like an accident in the Vinoise, certainly. So that area is tied up. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, somebody here texts in and says, everybody is for individual property rights unless you have the financial ability to develop your property within the rule of law, then nobody is for individual property rights.
I know, right?
Right? You know, that's sort of the NIMBY KIMBY thing, right? You know, I don't want it in my backyard if it's bad, and I want to keep it in my backyard if it's good. And, I understand all of that. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's human nature. You know, that just is human nature. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling, maybe on Navarre Beach, I don't know. But, you know, you're thinking about moving or, you know, leveling up in your housing, Christina Leavenworth, she will take care of you. She knows how to do this. She knows what the prices are doing, what the housing market is doing. And not just like in general, it's up, it's down, like, you know, the stock market's up or down. Well, what's this stock going to do, right? Same thing. What's the stock in homes in the $400,000 price range near Davis Highway going to do? Like that kind of thing. Or the $600,000 homes near Davis. Like, you know, where it is, what's the price tier, what's the neighborhood, what's the HOA, all of that kind of stuff. She knows it all. And she will help you figure that out if you're buying or, again, if you're selling. So you can talk to her, and she's got a great team of people that are helping her out all the time. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest, and they will be discussing how the ProHealth Medical Membership Program can help you take out the stress because of the cost of healthcare. That's today at 10:30, as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. Nothing is everything. With Sky Rizzi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Sky Rizzi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Autobots, transform and roll out.
There's something that I can do to advance our interests as a region and stand up for our values, then I think I have an obligation to do so, and that's why I'm running.
He'll tumble for you. That's right. Don Gates is running for Senate again. He was a former Senate president, termed out after 8 years in the Senate. And, of course, these days, I suppose you might have more renown maybe for his son, who is in Congress, who was also in the House. Of representatives in the state of Florida. They served at the same time together. They actually campaigned together for a while.
My son expects to run for Congress again in 2024, so you may see the father and son Gates team out knocking on doors in 2024, just like we did when Matt was in the state House and I was in the state Senate.
Open Gates Day with both Don and Matt showing up
to your
door.
We can finally have a really Gates Pride Parade. I've been saying this for years.
I know, right?
Come on.
So you might have wondered, like, how can he run again if he was term limited out? Well, you just take a break. I mean, if you if you're out for 2 years, you can run again. And, of course, in Senate, out for 4 years. So you run for 8, you're out, and then you run again. That's fine. There's no prohibition on that. The only thing about all this that's particularly strange is the fact that poor Frank White. You know, like...
No, I like Frank White
so
much.
I do, too. He left... I said this at the time. I thought one term in the House and then running for attorney general seemed like a jump to me. I thought maybe a term or two more in the House would be good, but he made the choice and, you know, didn't win the primary and didn't win the election, obviously. And Frank is a friend. He's, you know, we've had him on the show a bunch. And then he decides, okay, he got Doug Broxson is leaving the Senate. He's term limited out at 8 years. I'll run for Senate. And he's been working on that and he's raised a bunch of money and he made the announcement on this show. I mean, like what, 6 months ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Don Gates is like, I think I'm going to take this job again. And Frank's like, I'm out. Because he can't win. He can't, I mean, most likely can't win against Don Gates. And, you know, I mean, Don is a Senate president, for goodness sakes, you know. And he was the head of Triumph for a while. And he's been on the UWF board of directors and all this stuff, plus the Gates name recognition. So, you know,
where
I'm
does
not sure.
Don Gates live? Do you know what
town? Niceville.
Oh, okay.
Niceville. 437-1620, 437-1620. Why is he running?
You know, we've become the low tax state, and that's great, but we're the high electric bill state, and we're the high property insurance state, if you can get it. we're the high housing cost state. And of course, gas and grocery prices and other things are high as well. Some of those issues are Washington issues, but some of them are issues that can be controlled and managed at the state level by the legislature and by the governor. So I'm going to be involved in those issues, as well as preparing our workforce to be able to get real jobs in the real economy with career technical education.
Yeah, I mean, all of that makes sense to me. You know, I understand all of those positions. And by the way, there's, you know, I said poor Frank White. I think Frank, you know, he's going to enjoy a little bit more family time now. I wonder if he's going to run for office again. By the way, Don Gates, I think it was Don, one of the two were quoted in the paper saying, you know, he's got a great future in other office. You've got Doug Broxson has now endorsed Don Gates. Frank White dropping out has also endorsed Don Gates, and which I think is a, you know, a pretty obvious political decision to be made. You know, I don't care who you are, trying to run against Don Gates for Senate would be very difficult at the least. Now, the other question that people have raised as well, is he just doing this because Matt might run for governor?
I think that's rumors and clickbait. You know, in talking to my son, which I do almost every day, he is singularly focused in Washington on the spending crisis, on the budget crisis, and on trying to get a vote on term limits. He wants to save the country, and he thinks he's where he needs to be to do that. He is not focused at all on any race in 2026, and neither am I.
Yeah, and I know the rumors are very much in the other direction. I'm just, you know, I may be wrong, okay, but I think that's accurate. I don't think Matt wants to leave the House of Representatives. I think he likes what he's doing there. But, I could be completely wrong. 726 News Radio 92.3, Candy's got traffic for us.
Watching a few accidents. One, let's see. Sorry about that. Of course, the accidents disappear from the screen sometimes. I-110 northbound ramp at airport. You mentioned that just a little earlier. Not blocking anything, but watch your emergency crews on scene. Rebel Road and West 9 Mile showing an accident this morning, and it looks a little slow as you're making your way over the bridge to Pensacola NAS. It's backed up over the bridge almost to Sunset. Use caution there, and wherever you are, 437-1620. If you have those traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. I will tell you, the one part about this I'm not sure I really understand is, you know, I don't understand why he, I mean, I think that basically the question was put to him, you know, maybe you should run for Senate again, and he feels like he has more to give. But I just thought, you know, Frank White would be a great senator too. Like that's, and, you know, to sort of cultivate that next generation of leaders, because, I mean, Frank White is easily the kind of guy that could go from being, you know, a senator, be a senator again, be an attorney general, you know, running when he's got a lot more experience, potentially running for governor. I mean, you know, that
he could run for president. He's such a good guy with a great background.
Like
and
that
a
kind
nice
of path
guy.
Is possible, yeah. Right? And, you know, with the elder Gates, not elderly, but just his son is Matt, right? You know, that, you know, you don't have that future potential, right? And that's always kind of the issue with arguments for term limits, is you want to be cultivating that next generation of political operatives. 728 on News Radio 92.3, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar said to be okay after a carjacking last night in Washington, D.C.
Police were able to recover that car. It was about 2 miles from where the incident took place. And right now they say that Congressman Cuellar is working with law enforcement, but so far no arrests have been made.
That's NBC's Ryan Nobles and police. They're saying it happened about a mile from the U.S. Capitol. Police looking for three men who they say took his vehicle and his luggage.
You mean D.C.'s not safe? Weird.
Surprising,
yeah,
isn't
odd.
It?
I hadn't heard that. Also, somebody texted me and said they also stole his sushi. The crime. Go
now
ahead,
David. That's...
I know. Of all the things.
I can't, yeah. But more.
You don't steal a man's sushi.
No.
That's just wrong.
You don't.
You can't do that. The Supreme Court hearing arguments today on the constitutionality of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that was formed after the Great Recession to investigate consumer complaints against banks. And police in New York say the kidnapper's ransom demand for 9-year-old Charlotte Cena is actually what led authorities to the kidnapper. Governor Kathy Hochul said police found the suspect's DNA on a ransom note that he left in the family's mailbox. And Cena was then rescued by a SWAT team last night. She was reportedly found in a cabinet in the camper the suspect was in.
That's great news. I'm glad that she's back safe. That's fantastic. David, thanks so much for the update. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, they have a great selection of almost new cars. Cars that are a year, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition. And, you know, the thing about Frontier is not just the selection and the prices and the extra service that they do. And you can get a Carfax for free even if you're not buying from them. I mean, just all that kind of stuff. But it's just like this community place. Like when you see all the bumper stickers and license plate frames around town, those are all the people who have had great experiences with Frontier. And I know, I mean, it seems like everybody here at the station has bought a car from them, not because they advertise, but just because they're a great place to go. I mean, that was me. You know, I went there because they had a car I wanted to look at. Wound up buying it. Super satisfied. Asked, hey, can I do live reads for these folks? Because they're great. And, you know, as I've been doing for several years now. So, Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Remember, I tell you, you got to be listening, pay attention. I got tickets for FSU versus Virginia Tech. Two tickets for this Saturday at the Doak. All you got to do is be caller number 3 right now, 437-1620. You win two FSU tickets versus Virginia Tech this weekend.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump is expected to be back at the defense table for day 2 of his business fraud civil trial in New York City.
This is his company. This is his life.
Trump attorney Alina Haba on Fox and Friends. So far, there's been testimony from a former Trump accountant that his firm just used the numbers provided by the Trump Organization. The Nobel Prize in Physics is announced.
U.S.-based Pierre Agostini is one of a trio who the Nobel Prize Committee says have given humanity new tools for exploring the world of electrons. He's sharing the $1 million prize with Ferenc Krauss, who works in Germany, and Anne Louillier, who's based in Sweden. They found a way to produce pulses of light so short they can be measured in quintillionths of a second, capturing previously unseen images of how atoms work.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 68 degrees. It is partly cloudy here in Pensacola this morning. Congressman Matt Gaetz continuing on the offensive, speaking yesterday from the House floor.
And the one thing I agree with my Democrat colleagues on is that for the last 8 months, this House has been poorly led, and we own that, and we have to do something about it. And you know what? My Democrat colleagues will have an opportunity to do something about that, too, and we will see if they bail out our failed speaker.
That late yesterday afternoon, Gaetz brought forward a formal motion to remove Speaker Kevin McCarthy from his seat. A vote is expected within 48 hours. This comes after the short-term funding bill was passed over the weekend. Gaetz is also accusing McCarthy of reaching a secret deal with President Biden to continue funding Ukraine. Pensacola police say they did make one arrest in that shooting at the Pensacola Village Apartments over the weekend.
Right now, that's still up in the air. Like I said, we have a lot of information to try to put together as far as what the motive was behind the shooting.
And that's PPD Chief Eric Randall. Investigators do say two people were shot Sunday afternoon inside the G building there. One person died during that shooting. And PPD spokesman Mike Wood tells News Radio that a juvenile suspect has been identified as Zachariah Lipsko. He's been charged with carrying a concealed weapon and tampering with evidence. Wood also says they are searching for an additional suspect. The victim's identities have not been released. The man convicted of two Northwest Florida murders back in 1996 is scheduled to be executed today. Michael Dwayne Zach's execution is set for 5 p.m. Central Time at the Florida State Prison. Back in June of 96, Zach killed 31-year-old Ravon Kennedy. She was a bartender on Pensacola Beach. Earlier that day, Zach had also killed 40-year-old Lori Rosillo in Okaloosa County. Zach's attorneys had appealed to both the Florida and U.S. Supreme Courts, arguing that Zach suffered from fetal alcohol syndrome. The Santa Rosa County School District has been awarded $9 million in Triumph funding to pursue an innovation and technical education learning hub. The district says they're looking to create the Santa Rosa Center for Innovation, geared specifically towards STEAM and CTE curriculum. That's science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, as well as career and technical education. The $9 million grant will be used towards building renovations, staffing and salaries, supplies, equipment, and industry certification. Two kids were hurt after a youth football practice shooting in Orange County. Now, this happened in Apopka last night, and Police Chief Mike McKinley says three players apparently got into a fight on the football field that continued into the parking lot. That's where someone fired a weapon they got from a car. Two victims had to be taken to a hospital. Both of them, though, are expected to survive, and there's no word on the ages of the people involved. More details on this. Again, this was in Orange County, are expected to be released later on today. A drainage improvement project beginning soon in McElhaney Road, south of the state line in Brat. Now, it's a Hurricane Sally FEMA project, estimated to cost about $810,715. FEMA's funding the majority of it, about $40,000 being put in by Escambia County. The work's going to include cleaning debris, removing damaged culverts, and installing some new ones, as well as fixing fences and roads and other miscellaneous work. All that expected to start sometime this month and take about 180 days. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
And showing a couple of things you want to watch out for, certainly, this morning. A little slow over the bridge to get onto the front gate of Pensacola NAS, backed up over the bridge past Sunset, it looks like, almost to 98. 98 is a little slow, it looks like, westbound as you're approaching Navy Boulevard after an accident this morning, and we see Rebel Road and Nine Mile Road showing an accident, but also showing that it's clear. So, but you still might want to watch for emergency crews on scene. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And congratulations.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Congratulations to Jennifer from Cantonment picking up those FSU tickets. More chances for you to win coming up on News Radio. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We have a beautiful day in store for us today. Temperatures warming up near 87 degrees for your high. Plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 60s, 67 degrees for your low. Nice weather continues for your Wednesday with a high near 87 degrees. Plenty of sunshine. Low Wednesday night, dropping near 69 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 67 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is widening its investigation into Ford trucks and SUVs built with a faulty valve that could lead to catastrophic engine failures. The initial probe was launched in July of 2022 and covered 25,000 vehicles. It will now expand to 708,000 and include an engineering analysis after regulators said multiple contributing factors were identified during the investigation of impacted Bronco, Edge, Explorer, F-150, Lincoln, Aviator, and Nautilus vehicles. Lucky Charms is bringing you back to the past when Loki shortly replaced Lucky the Leprechaun as their mascot. General Mills is once again partnering with Marvel Studios to release their Loki Charm cereal box, now with an updated look to promote the release of Loki Season 2. The limited edition novelty boxes are inspired by the infamous Marvel Cinematic Universe anti-hero. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a slightly lower open. That's Your Money Now.
Keep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watson deep downfield!
Caught! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone!
Picked off! Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. First City Art Center's 17th annual Pumpkin Patch is Friday and Saturday at the FCAC campus. Choose a hand-blown glass and handcrafted pumpkin and support local artists. See firstcityart.org for more. Soaring excitement and thrilling musicality come together for opening night of the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra's 98th season, Saturday night at the Sanger Theater. See PensacolaSanger.com. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Local news with News Radio's news team.
I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3.
I'm News Director Joe Ford. Local news radio is so important because during major events or emergencies, you may not always be near a TV. Your phone and internet may go out, but radio is easily accessible and often the first source for information you need to know.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We'll
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. Good to be here.
Try one more time. Can we hear him okay? Did you hear him in your headphones okay?
This is hello.
I don't know. David, can you hear him? It's okay. Why don't you try the other mic and just see if that works better. Wait. Oh, she had the wrong one on. That's right. Sorry about that. There you go.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, look at that. There you go. That's my fault. I confused Candy by giving him the other mic.
So people know, I just speak into the mic they give me.
No, it's not the sheriff's fault. Not even remotely. It's totally our fault.
Yeah.
So a couple of incidents, as we always do. Always have some incidents to talk about. One is you had a felony battery strangulation and a kidnapping of a girlfriend up in Cantonment. Is that right?
Unfortunately, that's right. Yeah, we arrested Antoine Davis, and he is accused of holding and strangling his girlfriend periodically over a two-day period. I think they were at a grandmother's house or her mother's or his grandmother's house. And the report was that he held her and battered her and, again, strangled her over the course of a two-day period, would not let her leave. I think that if she tried to leave, he would batter her and bring her into the house, threaten her with more violence if she left the house. Just a terrible situation. But now he is he's under arrest, and he'll answer for those charges.
You know what I always think about cases like this is, I mean, thank God she's okay. It seems like she's going to be okay. Right. Thank God we're, at least for the moment, able to separate them and get her out of that situation. But what I always think is not so much how awful for her, but how awful for the other ones we don't know about.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, unfortunately, that is the case where some people don't report it, and then it escalates or continues. Either one's terrible. So that's why we do our best to try to, let people know it's okay. There's a place. There's a safe place you can go to. There are resources available. And if you know of someone that's been the victim of that, you can call us and we can check that out. We certainly are willing to arrest those that are committing these terrible crimes.
And the psychology involved in the victims and the perpetrators, it's all very complicated stuff. It's emotions, it's patterns, it's what you're expecting, it's what you think of your own self-worth. There's all kinds of stuff built in and around this, and it's awful to know, tragically, how common, how not uncommon, this kind of stuff is, unfortunately. We also had a guy was threatening four people with a gun on Dudley Drive, is that right?
Yeah, on Sunday we arrested a guy that there were four people in a house on Dudley Drive, and he came out with a handgun and threatened them because it was an argument between two females at the residence, which became physical. And then the male suspect pointed a handgun at the four individuals and threatened them. So obviously you can't do that.
Right.
So he was arrested. His name was Ladarius Blankenship. We ended up arresting him for that particular crime.
And you also had I guess it was a shooting on Blunt Street. This was yesterday, I think, that somebody was shot. And I thought I heard that this was maybe an abandoned home or something like that.
Yes, I understand it's people are staying at his home, and we can't determine who owns the home. But there's a number of people that have been staying in that. In this particular case, is a guy said that he claims he got shot by a male he doesn't know. He claims that this is a young black male with dreads and a white shirt. So that's all we have to go on at this point. It does not appear life-threatening, the injuries.
You have the information you have.
We can only investigate with what we have.
You know,
we obviously secured a crime scene. We gather any shell casings and that sort of thing. We certainly investigate these things, all crimes. But sometimes we get information that we deem reliable and credible, and sometimes we do not.
I see. And, sometimes the people who are giving you the less than credible information, they may eventually become suspects.
And strangely enough, I mean, it's the ones that get shot that sometimes don't give us the information.
How big of a problem is it for your office or for the community in general, abandoned, vacant, dilapidated, we tend to think of, but homes that are empty, my perception is that, homeless people move in and that can be a problem, but criminals can move in. Generally speaking, empty homes are a law enforcement challenge, right?
They certainly can be. As you said, people can, first of all, the home gets deteriorating, the yard and stuff looks bad. It becomes a nuisance to the neighborhood itself.
Yeah.
But then you got the added threat, if you will, of individuals, breaking in and staying there, squatting there. For no good purpose, or you never know what's going to happen whenever people go in there and they loot or they just occupy a home for a certain period of time. And the bottom line is, you don't live there. Stay out of someone's house.
Right. Right, you would think.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something, and I'm curious to see whether you'll agree with me. I think you will, but that's why I want to ask. In our neighborhood, you know, we know a lot of the neighbors. We walk, we talk with people, we engage them. And, you know, in every neighborhood, you've got, like, there are the people who just want to be in their house and leave them alone. And then there are the people who are kind of lightly connected to other people. And then you've always got, there's kind of these 5% of the residents that are, you know, they're probably on the HOA and they kind of know everybody and they got their busybodies in the sense that they're into everybody's business and they know all the gossip. And those people are vital for crime deterrence and prevention, though, because they're the ones who are going to know and they're going to talk and they're going to call the police. Like, those people can sometimes be a little bit, oh, man, you know, but they're also like, that's the neighborhood watch, even if it's not a neighborhood watch, right?
Well, and we tell people, you know, back in the day, we would have a lot more of the neighborhood watch and association meetings. And now with social media, we can get that information out, you know, to a wider audience. But we would tell them a lot of times to pay attention to what's going on in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. work and protect your own neighborhood as if it were your own. So what, you know, again, what they were taught to do or told to do or asked to do is to pay attention. If you see something suspicious, call us and we can check it out. If you see a car parked in your, you know, a neighbor's house that may be away on,
yep.
on deployment or maybe away on vacation, then to give us a call. And those are very important things to keep a neighborhood safe. You know, we do get calls, unfortunately, about neighborhood disputes, about what someone terms a busybody and
yep, right.
you know, mind your own business, leave me alone. As you pointed out, there may be some people that just want to be left alone, and that's true. And that's why, you know, you move into a house with covenants and or a neighborhood with covenants, and if you want to be left alone, there are places in Escambia County
where you can do that.
With,
yeah,
you know, acreage and such.
Look, I mean, you know, the person who knows what everybody drives is the person who knows when somebody's driving and shouldn't be there. You know, and that's
there's a balance there, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. But again, that can be useful for crime thwarting. 7:47 News Radio 92.3 Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio. Candy's got traffic for us.
So you like the Kravitzes? My Kravitz. 98 westbound, a little slow as you're approaching Navy Boulevard, a little slow getting over the bridge for the front gate of Pensacola NAS, but not bad, not that bad at all. It looks like we're watching Rebel Road and 9 Mile Road showing an accident, but also showing that it's clear. 437-1620, texting your traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. Sheriff, earlier today, I played an audio clip from former President Trump over the weekend speaking in California, and you and I talk almost too much, but I don't think it's too much. I think it's very useful. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about the rules regarding guns, the rules about self-defense, stand your ground, Castle Doctrine, all of that kind of stuff. And I heard him say this morning, and we had a pretty robust discussion about it earlier in the morning, but I wanted to give you a chance to comment because I spoke in your behalf. I said, well, this is what Chip would say about this, and I hope I'm right. I mean, I know I'm sure I'm right, but okay, you know, I wanted to give you a chance to hear it. This is President Trump in California over the weekend.
And we will immediately stop all of the pillaging and theft. Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store. Shot.
So, Sheriff?
You know, the rules are, and they continue to be, that if you feel as if your life or another's life is in danger, you can use deadly force. And again, we talked about that. I am a supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm a supporter of someone defending themselves. But if someone's leaving your residence or a store, then, what danger do they pose you? That would be, it makes good political theater. I'm just not sure if that's actually what he meant. You know, there used to be a fleeing felon law here, in the country. I think it was Tennessee versus Garner decided, hey, you can no longer shoot a fleeing felon that, you know, you can't shoot him in the back, more or less.
Gotcha.
When someone's leaving. Now there are times when a law enforcement officer, someone can think that this person poses such a threat. You know, you're shooting at the cops and you turn around and flee. You can still be shot in that scenario.
Sure.
So I don't know what President Trump was talking about. I can just tell you, if you don't feel as if your life is in danger, and if it's not reasonable to think that your life was in danger at the time that you pull the trigger, then that's illegal.
And we all understand, and I had a caller who took great disagreement with me about this, but we all understand the frustration of being the victim of or seeing other people victimized with a theft of this kind. And if, you know, somebody's coming into the store wielding a baseball bat and chains and you don't know what's about to happen, that is an entirely different scenario than if somebody is, you know, back to you leaving the store carrying a TV and, you know, not a threat of any sort to you.
Well, what I heard him say, and again, there's a nuance here, and you
sure.
have some particular more information, but he said robbery. A robbery is not a theft. A robbery is not shoplifting. A mm-hmm. robbery is using a weapon to rob a store, like a handgun or something. And so if he's talking about robbing a store and then turning and leaving, you would have to explain that you felt like that individual that's a robber mm-hmm. with a gun.
Because that's with force. A robber is not a burglary.
Right. It poses a significant threat to you or someone else, the neighborhood, the community, whatever it's going to be. I think it's an uphill battle if you're leaving the store. But I do think that, you know, obviously if they turn towards you, then you're at threat. You're at risk then.
And what I said is, you know, somebody's leaving the store and is no longer a threat. It sounds to me like he's saying shoot him in the back. I mean, he didn't use that phrase, but that's what it sounds to me like he's saying. And I certainly agree that that would have a deterrent effect. But you can't justify deadly force. You know, I was actually reading the statute this morning, 776031. Which says you can defend property with force, but not violent, not deadly force. It has to be in commission, imminent commission of a forcible felony is the justification for deadly force.
Right. And law enforcement have the same rule.
Right, you know, right.
We have the same rules that everyone else has. People think sometimes that law enforcement has a greater authority to just shoot somebody, and that's not the case. When we have an officer-involved shooting, we evaluate it as if it were using the same statutes that you talk about.
Right.
And when the state attorney's office looks at that, they look at those statutes. There aren't special statutes for law enforcement officers. It's as simple as it has been for years since we've been talking. It has to be a reasonable person standard that you believe that your life or someone else's life is in danger at the point you pull that trigger.
And my biggest concern with people, and this is why I like to talk about this so much, is because I am concerned, especially with everybody now eligible to conceal carry, mm-hmm. is people will have this, you know, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. You loot, we shoot. You know, they kind of have these sort of, you know, Rambo-esque pithy phrases that guide them in their thinking. And I just want them to know that that is not what the law says. And you know,
you and I both talk, and I am a big, big supporter of the fact that you can protect yourself.
That's right.
You certainly
right.
can in Escambia County. You can use force to protect yourself in Escambia County, and the tie goes to the runner. In my view of these things, I'm just saying that you have
not in the sense that if they're running, but in the sense of if there's uncertainty between the defender and the violent offender, right?
We're gonna side with someone that's defending themselves,
right.
Especially on your own property. Someone breaks in your property, you get the benefit of the doubt in my mind, but you can't you know help me out. Don't shoot someone when they're leaving. So don't shoot someone whenever they're no longer a threat to you or someone else.
Very good, Sheriff Chip Simmons. Always good information. Thank you so much, always, for giving us good perspective and for keeping us safe. I appreciate that. It's a difficult job, and I'm glad you're doing it. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and installation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, save 35% on New South Windows products and installation.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Ask Rushing Insurance in Pensacola and Daphne if auto owners make sense for you.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Jesse Kelly here. Do you feel protected? My personal protection plan is owning gold. The Oxford Gold Group helps you buy gold to have on hand or convert it into your 401k. If things get weird, I have gold on hand. I like that. You can buy coins or convert part of your 401k with the Oxford Gold Group. It's easy and safe. 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD.
Fox News Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now let's go get your daughter.
So show me family, all the blood that I will bleed. I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I went wrong. But I can write a song. I belong with you. You belong with me, my sweet.
Man, it's so good. 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. You needed a little Lumineers and you didn't even know it. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
You know, after this hard hour of like play something.
Of course, I led into it with the Poltergeist cut from the psychic.
Let's go get your daughter.
Rebel Road and 9 miles showing an accident. But again, it looks clear, so you shouldn't have too many problems getting around that area. A little slow getting on the front gate of Pensacola NAS. It looks like a slowdown on 98. This is 98 westbound, just past the turnoff to Avalon there. But again, it's the usual congestion in the area. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Donald Trump is expected to be back in a courtroom in New York this morning for day two of his civil fraud trial. New York Democratic Attorney General Letitia James is seeking $250 million in fines from Trump and his organization, as well as restrictions on his ability to operate a business in New York. Trump calls it a witch hunt.
And by the way, we haven't really talked about this case a lot. The allegation here is that there were massive inflations of the asset values of properties that he oversaw, and that was somehow used to leverage other money or whatever. And, you know, I think the judge even made the comment about how this is really old information. Like, this is,
right.
You know, so, I don't know. We haven't talked a lot about the details, and in case people hadn't seen the story for themselves. Go ahead, David.
Authorities have called off the search for a missing swimmer in California after a possible shark attack. The U.S. Coast Guard and other agencies responded to the Point Reyes National Seashore on Sunday after a report that the man had gone missing. The man's friends said they saw a shark and blood in the water there. And the Golden Globe says its membership is now more diversified. The Movie and TV Awards Show put out a press release yesterday. They say they've expanded their membership to now include 300 journalists from around the world. And their voter breakdown is now 60% racially diverse and 47% female.
Oh, see, I misunderstood. I thought that somehow they'd started investing in a wider variety of goods and services, that they were more diversified. But
different diversified.
I misunderstand words all the time. So Candy's just, I get no love from Candy all day long. All right. One more clip from President Trump over the weekend in case you didn't hear this one. And this is definitely a hold on to your hats kind of clip, okay? You ready? You sure you're ready? Really?
But if you become president and you don't like somebody, or if somebody's beating you by 10, 15, or 20 points like we're doing with crooked Joe Biden, let's indict the motherfucker. Let's indict.
So there's so there's that. The people that love him love the way he talks.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Former state senator Don Gates is running for election to his former seat for Doug Broxson's seat. We'll have more on that story after Fox.